ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
And one of the things, I'm not joking when I talk about White History Week, one of the things which most afflicts this country is that white people don't know who they are or where they come from. That's why you think I'm a problem. But I am not the problem. Your history is. And as long as you pretend you don't know your history, you're going to be the prisoner of it. And there's no question you're liberating me, but you can't liberate yourselves. We're in this together. And finally, when white people, quote-unquote white people, talk about progress in relationship to black people, all they are saying and all they can possibly mean by the word progress is how quickly and how thoroughly I become white. I don't want to become white. I want to grow up, and so should you. Thank you.
June 18th, 2008, it's all on the table. I'm going to talk about the cost of the judgment of God, the floods that threaten the Midwest economy. You all want to give credit to the heart machine and global warming and climate change. I prefer a supreme being and the Son of Man. Well, either way, we'll look at the effect if we don't agree on the cause. Come on.
If I got on some pretty boys like Puffy, in the hood, man, they just wouldn't love me. I wore a suit every day like Jay-Z. Think I bought my head and went crazy. If I put diamonds in my teeth like Baby, I wouldn't stand a chance of trying to sell like Shady. If I put out joints like AZ, every chance I get, they try and play me. But I move around with a little, try to stunt a beat. If I all day like Snoop do, I see the world different through my dilated pupils. If I bust dance moves on you like Usher, to say 50 that ain't gangsta. Man, I'ma just keep doing what I do. Can't do me better than I do. Man, I watch the sun go up and come down. Saying what if, what if. Man, I watch the tide roll and it roll out. Saying what if, what if. Homie, I play the block trying to get my f***s off. Saying what if, what if. Man, if I get a shot, I can make it to the top. Damn, what if, what if. What if I had blockbuster flex like Will Smith, and all the backpack love me like Mos Def? I'd probably be a cool like Ice Cube. Picture me in a flick right now looking so cool. What if I was a low key, just laid back, hustle to keep a homie around, somebody to hold it. Man, what if Haley Berry was my next baby mom? I'd get that child support up with no problem. If I caught a case of jump bail, I'd get caught, cause I'm that everybody know from New York. What if I was a new rapper you didn't know? You be saying, damn, that kid got a sick flow. What if I just cruise through your hood on 22s? Bobby Curtis Mayfield, I'm Marvin, something smooth. And if I let the top down on the saw, yeah, that'll make you sick to your stomach, I'm sure. Man, I watch the sun go up and come down. Saying, what if, what if, what if. Man, I watch the tide roll and it roll out. Saying, what if, what if. Homie, I play the Glock trying to get my f***s off. Saying, what if, what if. Man, if I get a shot, I can make it to the top. Damn, what if, what if.
June 18th, 2008. How the show in the diaspora, the show that many platforms are competing for, will keep you posted. I want this show all over the world. Floods threaten Midwest's economy. Floods threaten Midwest economy. June 12, 2008, Wall Street Journal. Drenching rain and widespread floods in the Midwest are taking momentum out of a regional economy that has been among the brightest spots in the U.S. economy recently. Meat processor Tyson Foods, Inc. is temporarily suspending work at two Iowa hog slaughtering plants, while farm equipment maker Deere & Company was forced by rising rivers to evacuate a foundry in that state. A St. Louis-based riverboat casino on the Mississippi River closed, and a lake at a popular resort in Wisconsin emptied after an embankment burst. Towns across the region are confronting collapsed bridges and overflowing sewers. Further, heavy rain may burst or overtop already stressed dams and levees in Wisconsin and Iowa. And that did happen today, by the way. Our city is basically closed, said Waterloo, Iowa Police Lieutenant Rich Carter, as rain poured down windows in the police department's building. Now, this was last week. I'm not dealing with what's happening today. I just want to name the names of the companies so you all understand how real this is. Here's some more of the effect. The economic damages extent is uncertain, but the early flooding already is drawing comparisons to the 1993 floods that caused more than $20 billion of damage in the Midwest. The National Weather Service said flood damage probably could reach hundreds of millions of dollars, but floods are typically slow-rolling disasters and weeks may pass before their full effect is known. If forecast rain pours down in the next few days, the Mississippi River might reach or exceed levels last seen in 1993. The effects in the Great Plains are likely to ripple throughout the nation. High water flow prompted the Army Corps of Engineers to announce the closure of 9 locks this week on the Mississippi River, a vital shipping lane for coal, fertilizer, grains, and other commodities whose prices have soared in the past year. I'm going to go down here. Grain processing giant Cargill, Inc. has a corn milling plant in Cedar Rapids, Iowa that is being shut down because of flooding. Rival grain processor Archer Daniels Midland of Decatur, Illinois said its processing operations hadn't been substantially affected as of Wednesday afternoon. We've never had a flood in this proportion, said John Bloom Hall, president and chief executive of animal feed ingredient maker Diamond V. Mills, Inc. in Cedar Rapids, adding that he worries flooding may inflict the worst damage since 1993. That will depend, he said, on how long, how high, and how much. Midwest floods cripple shippers. Now, this is from Monday, June 16th. Flooding in the Midwest is causing a host of problems for U.S. freight carriers, forcing railroads to divert or delay shipments and docking tugboats and barges that use the Mississippi River to transport a range of goods, including grain, coal, fertilizer, and scrap metal. We're thinking this could easily get to be over $1 million a day for our industry alone, said Larry R. Daly, president of Alter Barge Line, Inc. in Bedendorf, Iowa, which uses the Mississippi to ship corn, soybeans, steel, cement, and other cargo. Mr. Daly said more than 100 of his company's barges and tow trucks are stuck at various points along the river, costing his company $25,000 a day. Brother Charles, is there another article there on the floods? Big fat one I had. Yeah, that's it right there. Thank you. My business partner, co-founder of BlackElectric.com. He's in the building. For all you people that want to get slick, because our leader, KRS-One, you think I led you into a false religion, the Church of KRS. We're ready for you if you're trying to run up on us today. Midwest floods may drive food prices even higher. This is from yesterday's Wall Street Journal. The Midwest floods are raising the inflationary tide rippling through the nation's supermarkets and restaurants, and meat prices may soon start rising along with prices for bread, eggs, and breakfast cereals. Economists are again raising their forecasts of how much food prices will climb and for how long, because heavy rains have washed out millions of acres of prime farmland at a time when soaring demand is draining U.S. grain supplies to low levels. The U.S. consumer has gotten used to cheap, affordable food, said Fiona Bowl, a food industry analyst at the U.S. arm of Dutch financial firm Rabobank Group. Now the goalposts are moving. Ms. Bowles said Monday she expects U.S. food prices to climb between 7 and 9% this year and to continue rising in 2009. The government's consumer price index for all food rose 4% in 2007 after increasing at a 2.4 annual rate during the 2 years before that. The high price of feeding corn and soybeans to livestock is forcing the meat industry to sell off breeding animals in order to stanch steep losses. Some industry analysts expect U.S. numbers of poultry, hogs, and cattle to shrink by 10% in the next few years, while the meat supply is temporarily increasing because of the movement of these animals to meat packers. The migration means supplies of some meat will begin to shrink by late this year, which will likely raise retail meat prices. The consumer hasn't felt it yet on the protein side, but it is coming, said Richard Bond, chief executive and president of Tyson Foods, Inc., the Springdale, Arkansas meat producer. According to his calculations, retail chicken prices will have to jump by double-digit percentages in 2009 for poultry processors to recoup their feeding costs at current grain prices. The price of corn, which has more than tripled in the past 2 years to a record high, has surged in the past week as flooding has ravaged parts of Iowa, often the nation's biggest producer of corn and soybeans. The cash prices of corn and soybeans in central Illinois have climbed 9% and 5% respectively in the past week. Although the growing season is young, the flooding is prompting some grain industry analysts to shave their corn harvests forecast by about 6% from last week. Okay, I hope that gives you some idea of the economic impact of what's going on in the Midwest. I think I saw President Bush on TV yesterday say, I have seen too many disasters as president. I think that's what he said. Well, there's a lot more before you get out of office, President Bush. A lot of more. Man, you guys got some more posts here. Yeah. Atif from Troutdale. Atif, where is that? Where's Troutdale? Atif from Troutdale says, Obama is a white man who happens to have a black father. He does not have our best interest in mind. I truly believe he is just an opportunist. Cameron says, if Obama was trying to distance himself from his reverend in church by telling us to stop doing hood rat stuff, it may be working. I've heard more amens than criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Dawood says music is dead, or they say music is dead. It's all about the reality shows. They have replaced music. Keenan from Chicago, he says, Brother Cedric, regarding Barack's speech, like they say on The Wire, quote, it's all in the game. When you listen to his speeches, you have to think like a middle class Caucasian. He understands we vote greater than 85% Democratic. Why tell black men Happy Father's Day and discuss positive black fathers? Glenn from Philly is back. He says, peace, said, I just got back from a meeting. I'm checking the Tiger Effect for you. It looks like Nike is down to about $67.85 a share. Now, there's no guarantee that Tiger Woods is the reason why, but trading volume on Nike spiked just before noon, right around the time when Tiger's news was announced. Glenn from Philly is connecting the dots. We think that the stock price of Nike today is being affected because Tiger Woods is out for the rest of the year with knee surgery. Now, this is another story, but I tracked the effect that star of Star and Buck Wild's uncertain employment status at Emmis Communications in 2003 was having on the stock price of Emmis. You can Google that. Something like is a hip hop DJ affecting the stock price, something like that. Google that. I connected the dots. I showed that Star's uncertain employment status was affecting the stock price of Emmis, an entire corporation. That shows you the value of hip hop. Cameron is saying, I'm feeling that sincere and heartfelt quote you are playing on your show. I believe it is from Paul Williams, the great Paul Williams. That's right, Cameron. He says it so well. Keep that in the show. Know what I'm saying? Yes, the white tea revolution continues. The great Paul Williams,
you know what I'm saying,
came back. He knocked out Quintana in the first round.
You know what I'm saying?
And so now Paul, I don't have a white tee on today, but I will be doing a show with a white tee and big sunglasses, which is the official Paul Williams uniform. Dawood did miss the song featuring Babyface on Lil Wayne's album. He says, I once did get a letter from LaFace Records. No cash, just a piece of paper. I can't eat that or pay any bills. Karima from Bowie says, no doubt he is a master of speaking to the needs and wants of his audience, AIPAC, to my Barack, while being linguistically skillful not to upset the voting masses. He is a politician. However, I did feel his speech was honest, sincere, and he is genuinely concerned about the condition of the black community. Dawood continues, at the hotel, Chuck D told him I was lucky to get that. Talking about the letter from LaFace Records. Dawood is requesting Nas, If I Ruled the World. I don't like to take requests, but that is my vocal coach. I might weave that in. Cameron says, when I heard Obama giving that speech, I asked myself, did we really need this to be on international television? If this is a sign of things to come, I hope he also airs out white folks, too. If he's going to tell us what to do, let's keep it going down the line. That's all I'm saying. I'm not getting a direct question from that I posed earlier from some of the that's a great post, Cameron. I'm not referring to you. You Obama supporters. Like I said, I'm on the fence. I told my mother, I had to tell my whole family that I have not decided whether I'm going to vote for Brother Bob Barr. By the way, Bob Barr and Ron Paul are talking about linking up.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, if the Ron Paul revolution gets down with the suspected original Brother Bob Barr, this thing, all bets are off. A Bob Barr, Ron Paul ticket on the Libertarian Party gets my full attention. But I was telling my family, I'm not sure whether I am going to vote for Brother Bob Barr, the Honorable Sister Cynthia McKinney, or Senator Barack Obama. I am going to send Barack Obama a campaign contribution, though. But you Obama supporters, will you tolerate him doing almost anything that he needs to do to get the white, moderate, and conservative votes that are absolutely necessary for him becoming president? I'll let you all think about that. I mentioned a great, probably one of the most consistent live performers when you compare his album songs. They sound just as bad in live performance as on the album. I'm talking about the great Keith Sweat. One of my unnamed business partners calls him, what, Sheep Man? Come on.
Are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Don't front, in 1989 I was pumping this. This is off the I'll Give All My Love to You album. Keith Sweat is the man. Listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
I mean, you know, R. Kelly. Is it safe to mention him again, R. Kelly?
I know some of you have a funny relationship where you feel self-conscious about acknowledging the greatness of R. Kelly, but behind R. Kelly and Usher, Keith Sweat is the purest R&B don. Anybody want to argue this? For the last 25 years, R. Kelly and Usher are at the top, and Keith Sweat is three. The great Dr. D. Muhammad from Detroit, Michigan, is in the building. Says peace. Obama is quite genuine and appealing as a crossover politician. He can make a difference, but he will not bring us reparations for slavery, segregation, and our fundamental dehumanization under white rule. Cameron from Paterson, New Jersey says the floods and the price of gas have really taken the place of the war in the news. It's ironic that this disaster, as all others, would allow prices to increase in the marketplace. I believe this shift was purposely done or taken advantage of. The psychological effect is sympathy for the U.S. Mm. Speak to him, Keith.
In the name of blackness, you are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
What it look like out? I got some more Lil Wayne. Joel Santana and Fabulous. Let's see if Fabulous kills it.
Better think before you rib it. Don't be murdered over your song before you ad-lib it. I pop up like it's
exhibit, but giving a magic cribbit. Not to put no your fish tanks in your Civic. Getting your ride pimp, you'll get hog tied whip. Have you in the trunk curled up like fried shrimp. It's been a good year, maybe I should ride a limp. Cause your boy just stay above the game. They tryna tag him, spray your brother frame. But your shots can't reach me, I'm way above your aim. Go ahead, yeah, say another name. Take the same for a joke, play them weighing brother games. And I'ma get you sucker, I'll be scheming with this Keenan. Aiming with this Damon, I'm putting that major pain in.
Ooh, E from Queens, how hot was that fabulous verse?
Make some Luger lasagna, 40 cal fettuccine, 3 pound pasta. You reach for this medallion, you must like Italian. You only see me pushing if the driver's tired. I work the S6 ever since the 5 retired. The drop top, they say it's Ocean Drive inspired. So you can call a cab once you fall for fast.
I get money like a mother. Shades darker than a mother that I see. I got everything, you got nothing.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
I'm on the grind till the police come. With that pistol on my side, boy, don't be dumb. Or I let that semi twirl ya. Now you can follow the drip. Cause one shot out of the clip, but Jerry curl ya. Leave you sloppy like seconds. Obey me like peasants. Or get opened up like presents. Please, my young boys wildin' for respect. Slit your throat, have you smiling with your neck. Say cheese. My dough's a bit longer. My flow is just slaughter. My wrists look like frozen Poland spring water. So tell me boys, who you think you messin' with? I get money out the air. That's some expensive shit. Haven't y'all all heard? What? Y'all all heard? Yeah. I stick toothpicks, yeah, and y'all all derbs. Listen, I'm a shark, y'all just koi fish. What else? Octopus. What else? Oysters. Chump, I got my eye on your wifey now. Yeah. I have her lick me up and then wipe me down. She told me use a nag, use a bug.
Damn.
She told me I'm a blast, I'm a stud.
Damn.
She told me you be beastin'.
I want this rated. This sounds kind of hot. Joel Santana, Fabulous, and Lil Wayne. Come on.
You surfboard dudes get wiped out totally.
Is this whackness or blackness? Come on. Big money, yeah.
Mr. Louis Farrakhan, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thank you, sir.
I understand that you have written President Clinton a letter talking to him about his behavior and some of the allegations regarding his conduct. What did you say to the president?
Well, the letter is personal and confidential, and I would not like to talk about all of the aspects of the letter, but there is an aspect of the letter that I will mention. America is very, very large in prophecy. And unless we understand where America is in prophecy, we don't know how to guide ourselves or this nation in such a time of trouble. America today has a relationship with God that is similar to the relationship that Egypt and Pharaoh had with Jehovah. The injustice to blacks, Native Americans, and the poor has caused God to send down a divine decree of judgment against this nation. So it doesn't really matter who wins seats in Congress, if the Republicans win or the Democrats win. America right now is losing. And this that you have done and America is doing to its president is unprecedented in the history of this nation and in the history of the world leaders.
Do you believe the president should resign or be impeached?
Impeachment is only a charge that has to be proved. So if the president is impeached, meaning that articles of impeachment are sent before the Senate, then a trial will take place to ascertain his guilt or his innocence, and then, of course, he could be turned out of office. That is a procedure. But the very man that this country has dogged worse than any public official in this history, that very man could be the savior of this nation if we understand prophecy.
Black Americans, African Americans, have been extremely loyal to President Clinton. Let me show you some interesting poll data and get your reaction to it. Overall impression of Bill Clinton, whites favorable 37, unfavorable 62. Black Americans, 91% favorable, 7% unfavorable. Then we talked a poll, Joint Center Economic Studies. Blacks only give Bill Clinton a higher rating than Jesse Jackson, Colin Powell, Louis Farrakhan. Bill Clinton is a real popular man amongst blacks. Why?
I don't really know why, because we have lost a lot under his administration. Welfare reform, affirmative action, public housing. Yet he has put more blacks in his administration than any president before him. But I think blacks have a sense of what it means to have your leaders put before the world and their negatives shown before the world so that your leaders are disgraced and ruined and their magnetism destroyed. So when they see the President of the United States treated as Mayor Barry was just a few years ago, brought before the world at a time that America is at the pinnacle of her power and global success and humiliated and embarrassed, I think the blacks in this country have a sense of what this is and feel that the president is being wickedly mistreated.
Do you believe the president's moral behavior should bring about his removal from office in any way?
Let me tell you, sir, to be very frank, if the moral behavior of every president of this United States was put on the line for morality, every one of them should be turned out. George Washington, the father of this country, was a slave master. The people that wrote the Constitution were slave masters. They had mistresses and babies out of wedlock. Surely sex was not considered a high crime and a misdemeanor to these men. John Kennedy did not have high morals, neither did Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And when you look at Monica Lewinsky and say, oh, what he did in the Oval Office, from the Oval Office, kings and rulers have been ordered to be murdered
from the Oval Office. Unjust wars have been sanctioned from the Oval Office. So Monica Lewinsky is nothing compared to the evil that has come from that office to the poor of this nation and the poor and the weak of the world.
As always, whenever you are a guest here, I read what you've said, and I'd like to share it with our viewers and get your reaction to it. This was an interview with Final Call, your newspaper. Looking at President Clinton's desire to put pressure on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to give up more land on the West Bank to the Palestinians, the Zionists, in my judgment, use what they know of the weakness of President Clinton, and Monica Lewinsky was introduced. You went on. I look at all the Zionists that are part of the insertion of the woman, the taping of her phone conversations, the manifestation of what was on that tape by certain magazines and newspapers. Monica Lewinsky was a Zionist plant.
Sir, Mr. Jeff Greenfield of CNN said on national television, or he raised the question, could this have been a conspiracy to insert her for a foreign power? I'm not quoting him exactly, but nothing else was said. I look at Lucianne Goldberg, Linda Tripp, Monica Lewinsky, and I ask myself, why was this introduced at this time when Netanyahu was being pressured by the president to give up more land on the West Bank? And at the same time, in the Jerusalem Report, a writer wrote these words: whenever Israel was threatened, women rose in defense of Israel. Such a woman was Deborah. Such a woman was Queen Esther. Such a woman is Monica Lewinsky. I think we need to look deeper into this than just what appears on the surface.
You went on and said something else about the president. You said as follows: I hope that President Clinton will see that his moral character or weakness was used by people who are very skillful, whose desire, I believe, is to destroy, the presidency of the United States. Who are these skillful people who are trying to destroy the presidency of the United States?
If you look at the behavior of John Kennedy while in office, the press knew his immorality. You never publicized his wickedness or weakness. You never publicized the weakness of your former presidents. Why this one in the manner that it was done? You have literally taken garbage and poured it out on the American people in such a way to destroy not just the president, but the presidency of the country.
Why? What's the answer to your question?
Well, I believe if we take it up higher than Zionists or higher than that, let's look at why God permitted the leader of the world's greatest and only superpower to be humiliated and embarrassed before the world. When they asked Jesus, give us a sign of the end of the world, Jesus said, this wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but no sign shall be given unto you but the sign of Jonah. And Mr. Russett, Jonah was the only prophet in history that was enabled to save a city that God had judged from destruction. And he saved that city through the king of Nineveh. Here is your president, disgraced, embarrassed by his own misdeeds. But as the king of Nineveh came out in sackcloth and ashes in atonement and caused the whole nation to come into atonement, God repented of his desire to destroy that city. America stands in that same position today. The God of justice is pouring calamity after calamity on this country. And unless the president atones and calls this nation to atone, then America will go the way of ancient Egypt, Sodom and Gomorrah, Babylon, and ancient Rome. America is in deep trouble.
West End Blues, Louis Armstrong. And that was the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, October 18th, 1998, on
Meet the Press, interview by the late, great Tim Russert. Two quick things. This will be my Father's Day. This is Juan Williams, The Tragedy of America's Disappearing Fathers. It's from the June 14th Wall Street Journal. Juan Williams writes, Walter Dean Myers, a best-selling author of books for teenagers, sometimes visits juvenile detention centers in his home state of New Jersey to hold writing workshops and listen for stories about the lives of young Americans. One day in a juvenile facility near his home in Jersey City, a 15-year-old black boy pulled him aside for a whispered question. Why did he write in Somewhere in the Darkness about a boy not meeting his father because the father was in jail? Mr. Myers, a 70-year-old black man, did not answer. He waited, and sure enough, the boy, eyes down, mumbled that he had yet to meet his own father, who was in jail. As we celebrate Father's Day, we should reflect upon a sad fact. It is now common to meet young people in our big city schools, foster care homes, and juvenile centers who do not know their dads. Most of these children have come face to face with their father at some point, but most have little regular contact with the man or have any faith that he loves or cares about them. When fatherless young people are encouraged to write about their lives, they tell heartbreaking stories about feeling like throwaway people. In the privacy of the written page, their hard emotional shells crack open to reveal the uncertainty that comes from not knowing if their father has any interest in them. The stories are like letters to unknown dads, some filled with imaginary scenes about what it might be like to have a dad who comes home and puts his arm around you or plays with you. They feel like they've been thrown away, Mr. Myers says, because they don't have a father to push them, discipline them, and they give up trying to succeed. They don't see themselves as wanted. A regular theme of their stories is that they feel safer in a foster care home or juvenile detention center than on the outside because they have no father to hold together the family. There is no one at home. The extent of the problem is real. The nation's out-of-wedlock birth rate is 38%. Among white children, 28% are now born to a single mother. Among Hispanic children, it is 50%. And reaches a chilling, disorienting peak of 71% for black children. According to the National Center for Health Statistics, nearly a quarter of America's white children, 22%, do not have any male in their homes, nearly a third, 31% of Hispanic children, and over half of black children, 56%, are fatherless. This represents a dramatic shift in American life. In the early 1960s, only 2.3% of white children and 24% of black children were born to a single mom. Having a dad, in short, is now a privilege, a ticket to middle class status on par with getting into a good college. That's Juan Williams. It's food for thought. It's something else. Praise helps dad be a dad. Dads often get a bum rap or a bad rap for failing to help out more with the child care. Many employed women have commented on this blog and elsewhere that they pick up an undue share of the parent or parenting duties. A new study suggests moms may have the power to change that by offering dads a little more support. A study of 97 couples with infants links both encouragement and criticism from mothers to a father's level of engagement. Encouragement from mothers seems to have the most powerful impact, says Sarah Shroop Sullivan, lead author of the study, which appears in the June issue of the Journal of Family Psychology. Complimenting a man's parenting, setting aside time for him alone with the baby, asking his opinion and praising his fathering in the presence of others were strongly linked to a greater parental engagement and nurturing. On the other hand, even dads who were determined to be involved and who believed mothers and fathers should be equal co-parents hit the sidelines when faced with a critical, judgmental mother. Among father toxic behaviors by moms, 1, looking exasperated at dad's attempts to tend the baby, 2, rolling their eyes, 3, redoing tasks that he has done, 4, talking through the baby, 5, or 4, by saying things like, "Daddy, make your bath too hot, didn't he?" The behaviors are enough to send a message to the dad that he's incompetent. Many moms probably aren't even conscious that they're sending negative signals. That's written by Sue Schellenbarger in the Best of the Juggle family blog at the Wall Street Journal. Let me read some final posts here. Man, catch up. Mm-hmm. Dawood says, "I like Keith Sweat tunes. To me, he has a very unique style." I agree, said, "He's the man." And Brother Vernon is sending me an article I can't get to from Politico. Cedric.com. Cameron says, I said, you told it like it is. Only Cedric could give one of the creators of New Jack Swing a backhanded compliment for being consistently bad. Even in your ranking, you put Keith at the bottom. You're cold, baby. You are cold. I can't put Keith Sweat over Usher when you look at the body of Usher's work or the great R. Kelly. Is it okay to praise R. Kelly, everyone? You politically correct R&B moral gatekeepers? Glenn from Philly says, Peace said, I'm a big Obama supporter. I won't support anyone doing anything to get elected. I do, however, understand his strategic reasons for the comments that he makes. I also sense sincerity in what he says as well, even as it relates to the previous racial issues he had to address. Mm-hmm. But Glenn continues, by the same token, I'm amused when I have conversations with people who all of a sudden want to hold Barack to a higher standard than they've held the entire Democratic Party to for years. Maurice from Philly, he says, the Lil Wayne songs with features are only hot because of the features. Dude is horrible. He's talking about Lil Wayne. Only hot songs on Lil Wayne's album, according to Maurice, are those that feature other artists. Cameron says that Lil Wayne joint has good flows and beats. It's authentic in the style it represents. It sounds like a mixtape and it talks about getting money. Juelz came up a little short on his verse, but it's hot by today's standards. Mm-hmm. Dawood says Lil Wayne songs are like pick and choose, but too much gets on my nerves, so I stopped listening. Was he with Cash Money? One year he was to do a signing. We waited. All I got was a drunk European in my face. Dr. D. Muhammad from Detroit, Michigan says, thanks for the message from the minister. His words and perspective always offer great insight and guidance, as usual. All right, I just burned the incense periodically. It is a shout out to all the Hotep honeys whose capital city, as you know, is Brooklyn. There's always a science to everything we do on this show. I only burned the incense so that I could get into the spirit of this next story on aromatherapy.
Hippocrates, long considered the father of medicine, used it to rid Athens of the plague. Now the ancient practice is making a comeback at a modern-day hospital in North Texas. Channel 8's Janet St. James reports.
In the car, glad to know she's okay.
A week ago, doctors weren't sure if Stephanie Desern would live or die.
There's one.
Her car T-boned by a drunk driver. Desern suffered internal injuries, a cracked pelvis.
I broke four ribs, chipped a few bones in my lower back.
Along with traditional treatment, she's receiving an alternative therapy.
Are you up for some aromatherapy today?
Yes, please.
Cool.
That's right. Aromatherapy, a 6,000-year-old practice using plant oils for healing.
We have 33 essential oils that we're trained on.
When used in combination with clinical massage, aromatherapist Sue Shields says the fragrance from the oils can help manage real health conditions. For example, cypress needle is said to increase circulation. Black pepper reduces muscle spasms.
Tea tree is antifungal, antibacterial, antiviral.
Lavender is good for burns and managing stress.
This therapy also adds to that because it promotes relaxation and reduces tension, and that also helps control pain.
Stephanie has a bouquet compounded bedside especially for her individual health needs.
It eases the pain, but really relaxes you more so that you think less about the pain, I think.
Aromatherapy is common in many other countries, but in the U.S. it is clinically unproven. Harris Methodist Fort Worth is offering it free while it studies the medicinal value of it. Trauma surgeon Stephen Rush says he's already noticed a difference in patients prescribed morphine.
Reduced need for medication.
Aromatherapy won't cure a condition, but Harris Hospital believes so strongly in the power of perfume, they now have 13 certified clinical aromatherapists on staff making rounds.
You remember yesterday we did your feet. This is a very...
After more than a month in the hospital with a high-risk pregnancy, Kim Iorizo tried it to help her sleep.
Yeah, I haven't been able to take a nap since I've been here, and yesterday was the first time I got to take a nap longer than like 10 minutes. So it was... It's very beneficial, I think.
A week after being near death, Stephanie Desern is being released from the hospital, convinced a healing scent was heaven sent. Janet St. James, Channel 8 News.
Okay, by popular demand, some of you all did not hear me expose Kevin Garnett channeling Rocky. So back to back to back, here is Kevin Garnett last night trying to restate the lines of the movie Rocky. Now, all I'm saying is that it is very quite possible that Kevin Garnett practiced what he would say after he won the NBA championship. If you don't believe me, listen up.
Except for my kid being born, this is the greatest night in the history of my life.
This moment right here, other than my kid being born, it's the most special, the happiest day of my life, man.
Except for my kid being born, this is the greatest night in the history of my life.
This moment right here, other than my kid being born, it's the most special, the happiest day of my life.
This is the greatest night in the history of my life.
This moment right here, other than my kid being born, it's the very, it's the most special, the happiest day of my life, man.
Except for my kid being born, this is the greatest night in the history of my life.
This moment right here, other than my kid being born, it's the very,
okay, now I think I've rested the case. You can spread that rumor. Send folks to this show. I may put out a press release. KG channeling Rocky. So aromatherapy, I don't know if any of you all are into that. Some of us prefer that and alternative medicines, the power of prayer. Here's a story from the June 12th Wall Street Journal, a child's death and a crisis for faith. The recent death from untreated diabetes of an 11-year-old Wisconsin girl has invigorated opposition to obscure laws in many states that let parents rely on prayer rather than medicine to heal sick children. Dale and Lilani Newman of Weston, Wisconsin are facing charges of second-degree reckless homicide after their child, Madeline Kara Newman, died on Easter after slipping into a coma. The death, likely preventable with insulin, has renewed calls for Wisconsin and dozens of other states to strike laws that protect parents who choose prayer alone in lieu of medical treatment. The case has also frustrated the Church of Christ, Scientist, the main promoter of prayer as therapy, which says a few tragic cases have unfairly tarred a practice that can restore health. The Newmans, a Christian couple who run a prayer group out of their coffee shop, are not Christian Scientists. The National Center for Health Statistics, a federal agency, estimated in 2004 that more than 2% of the population uses prayer rituals. Quote, no one should be presumed to be guilty or innocent because they've chosen spiritual care, end quote, says Phil Davis, a Christian Science church spokesman. Lawyers nationwide say they are eager to see if the Newman case sparks more changes in state laws. It raises a national discourse as to whether children can be medically neglected legally, says Marcy Hamilton, a professor at the Benjamin N. Cardoza School of Law in New York, who writes about children's rights. In another recent case, a 15-month-old child in Oregon died in March from a form of pneumonia and a blood infection after her parents opted to try to heal her with prayer. Oregon law provides no defense for parents charged with causing the death of a child through neglect or maltreatment, and the couple has been charged with second-degree manslaughter and criminal mistreatment. Any thoughts? Another one here. William McGurn, June 17th, op-ed Wall Street Journal, school choice is change you can believe in. He says, Barack and Michelle Obama send their children to an upscale private school. When asked about it during last year's YouTube debate, Senator Obama responded that it was the best option for his children. Several hundred low-income parents in our nation's capital have also sent their children to private and parochial schools with the help of a federal program that provides opportunity scholarships. Like Mr. and Mrs. Obama, most of these parents are African American, and like Mr. and Mrs. Obama, they too believe the schools they've chosen represent the best option for their children. Now, these parents have a question for Mr. Obama. Is Mr. Change You Can Believe In going to let his fellow Democrats take away the one change that is working for them? Just a few days ago, Democratic Eleanor Holmes Norton, D.C.'s congressional delegate, told the Washington Post that the Democratic Congress is not about to extend this program. Today, that program will come under the congressional spotlight when a House subcommittee takes up the annual appropriations bill for the District of Columbia that includes funding for opportunity scholarships for the 2009-2010 school year. If Mrs. Norton and her allies in the teachers union have their way, hundreds of African-American children with these scholarships will be forced back into one of the most miserable public school systems in the United States. Just how rotten are the D.C. public schools? In a recent survey by Education Week, the D.C. public schools ranked fourth from the bottom in terms of graduation rates. Test scores for basics like math and reading are also near the bottom. It's not for a lack of money. A recent U.S. Census Bureau report says the district school spending clocks in at more than $13,400 per child, which is the third highest in the nation. It takes a lot of money to run a school system as lousy as D.C.'s. This dismal performance helps explain why so many have been willing to cross the usual political and ideological lines to try to give the district's kids a better shot at a decent education. Opportunity scholarships have been endorsed by both the Washington Post and the Washington Times. They have the support of the Republican president, as well as the current and past Democratic mayors, Adrian Fenty and Anthony Williams. Even some of Mr. Obama's Democratic colleagues, for example, California's Dianne Feinstein, have said that D.C. should be allowed to give the program a chance. In contrast, Mr. Obama's silence is thundering across the district. Any thoughts? This may be another issue Senator Obama will have to answer. School choice versus public school system. Roginyo says, I missed Natasha today. You grow accustomed to certain things in life, and black coffee is not the same without Miami Red. Vic from Huntsville, he says, yes, it is okay to say R. Kelly is the one. Come to think of it, Keith Sweat did outlast the New Jacks. Dr. D. Muhammad from Detroit, Michigan says, at the same time, I disagree with Obama for distancing himself from the minister, leaving Reverend Wright's church, and trying to appease white America. Obviously, Obama has not learned that the good Negro mentality will not bring justice. That's Dr. D. Muhammad, Detroit, Michigan. E. from Queens is in the building. I have to give it to Lil Wayne. He is starting to tap into his inner artist and is setting himself up to be one of the greatest entertainers, not of all time, but of his time. I can't say that he is a great MC, but great MCs and singers don't need to entertain because their talent is entertaining enough. I think, you know, Lil Wayne may be a Steve Young type situation. He might be the most successful artist of his era. You may not be, you know, able to deny that. Eleazar from Brooklyn says, my thoughts are these people are crazy if they think God will answer their prayers. The Bible says, summarize, you will inherit your foreparents' sins and curses. Eleazar from Brooklyn. Hope you've been enlightened, illuminated, motivated, inspired, challenged, encouraged. Everybody spread the word of my linkage between KG and the movie Rocky. It's indisputable, irrefutable evidence. I want to say again on the death of Tim Russert, I don't think there was really anyone quite like him. I think there were times, I think the last appearance that the minister made on his show, it was like the Anti-Defamation League had written all his questions. But for the most part, I don't think you'll find another objective, a white mainstream corporate media representative that would give you the kind of presentation that he did. The media will increasingly go toward opinion and partisan stances. That's where the ratings are. That's why MSNBC made the turn toward the left that they did. Now their ratings are going up. That's why Fox did what they did. Yeah, this is the minister on playing Mendelssohn. Let me read this other article here on Live Nation. This is the group that signed Jay-Z. Some of you all know. Maybe they're looking at Lil Wayne. I don't know. It says Live Nation's leaders battle over strategy. A fierce battle has broken out among top executives at Live Nation, Inc. over the concert promotion company's ambitious strategy to reshape the struggling music industry by making wide-ranging but expensive deals with artists such as Madonna and Jay-Z. The battle is over the limits of that strategy, in which Live Nation has pledged hundreds of millions of dollars to a handful of performers in return for exclusive rights to release their recordings, promote their concert tours, and sell t-shirts and other merchandise bearing their images. Having laid out so much cash, an estimated $120 million for Madonna and $150 million for Jay-Z alone, Live Nation Michael Rapino has sought to slow the pace of deal making so he can ascertain that deals already struck are working before entering new ones. But the company's chairman, concert promoter Michael Cole, wants to quickly strike deals with as many as 15 more artists. According to the people familiar with the matter, the dispute in recent weeks boiled over into a full-blown feud, with Mr. Cole threatening to leave Beverly Hills, California-based Live Nation. The company's board at one point was prepared to intervene, setting up a subcommittee to bring the two executives together in Dallas for peace talks. The pair have since resumed speaking to each other, a person familiar with the situation says, and Mr. Cole has dropped his threat to leave. But the debate over how far Live Nation can push its strategy remains unresolved. Mr. Rapino and Cole couldn't be reached for comment. The music business has looked on with fascination in recent months as Live Nation spent huge sums to attract not just Madonna and Jay-Z, but also Irish rockers U2 and teen sensations the Jonas Brothers. The latter two deals give the company fewer rights and so are presumed less lucrative. Well, keep your eyes on Live Nation, the new home of Jigga, maybe the future home of Lil Wayne. I wonder how much Live Nation would give Lil Wayne. I'm going to let the minister speak to you on the violin.
Are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.